I picked up the paper and read it this morning, and of course hearing all the news this week, and all I'm seeing is evil, evil, evil in so many different places. We see about government corruption with a former mayor in a city close by. We see about a jet plane full of 298 victims being shot down, of innocent people being shot down by supposed military forces. We see continued conflicts on the Gaza Strip between the Israelis and the Hamas. We see places to where people have died due to military conflicts, terrorist conflicts, and even places where they've died because of violence in our communities. We see so many of these places, and even see another one here where a strip club owner, of course dealing with the Cannon case, but a strip club owner that acknowledges, now I'm kind of okay with this because something has happened, but he acknowledges what he's doing is not right, and so something's already working on his heart. And then of course we see that the Christians in Iraq fleeing away because they're either got to pay a tax, they've got to convert, or they have to run. So the thing is, there's just so much violence that we're seeing in the paper here. Evil, 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 evil. And I don't know about you, but I think we've all had experience with evil in our lives. We can probably see it, and we can name those places. I mean, I know in my own personal life, I mean, in the jobs that I've done, I mean, I've witnessed the lives of people that have been taken. I've had people try to take my life. I've had people try to do harm to me. And then I've had people that were really set on just being mean people. Now, I don't know about you, but that's something that I really struggle with. I mean, that's the part of being a Christian that I really struggle with, is how is it that we deal with those that intend to do us harm? How is it that we deal with those that are just really evil people? I mean, we know who they are. I mean, you can look in situations and people, and then sometimes we say, well, wow, that is just absolute evil coming out. And so I think that we struggle because we know that, okay, well, we're supposed to not be judgmental. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart and our soul, and we're supposed to love our neighbor. Well, what happens if our neighbor is an evil person? How do we love that person? How do we love the person that has intentionally done something wrong to us? Perhaps they have taken something from our family. Perhaps they have attempted to do you real serious harm. Perhaps they've left a lasting scar in your life. Or perhaps they've hurt someone that you love. How is it then that we're not judgmental and say, well, that's just a mean person? How is it that we're not supposed to say, well, I kind of hate that person? I mean, they tried to kill me, or they tried to hurt me, or they embezzled a bunch of money, so how is it that I'm supposed to love that person? And why is it that these people are around? Well, as we follow the lectionary scripture from last week, I think we can find some hope and some direction on how it is that we deal with these people. If you'll recall last week in the lectionary scripture, we talked about weeds, or seeds, weeds, and thorns. We talked about what happens when we plant seeds, and then we deal with the weeds that come up. We got to prevent the weeds from taking over. We talked about gardening, and we talked about the thorns that not only would choke things out, but would actually cause pain and harm. We talked about how to identify what those weeds were and how to identify what those thorns were. Well, this week, let's talk about the bad seed just a little bit. That's the message that comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and verses 36 through 43. So I now invite you to hear the word that our Lord has in store for us today in His Gospel. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him,
Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slave said to him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, Explain to us, the disciples talking to Jesus, the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, The one who sows the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out his kingdom, all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them in the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine like sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone with ears listen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we picked up here, kind of from last week, now identifying that, in fact, there is bad seed. So we know that the good seed that we read about here is from the Son of Man. That the God himself is the one that has sowed the good seed. And in a spiritual sense, that's where good things come as a result of an intentional faith development. Now, if we go into our gardens and we find those places where we've not been good at weed control, or at thorn control, our immediate impression might be to just go ahead and rip them up, rather than being careful and hoeing and doing that kind of stuff. But if we just go through and start ripping things out and throwing it away, if we're not careful, we're going to uproot some of the plants that are already there, some of the good plants that are already there. Because once they get their root, I mean, they kind of get interconnected, they're planted in the same areas, and if we just start not paying attention, inevitably you're going to pull something up that you don't mean to. And if you're like me, you look around and say, did anybody see that? And let's try to put it back in the ground when you pull up the wrong plant. And then, of course, my grandpa or my wife come along and they say, you done pulled up the wrong thing. So that goes back to the other scripture, don't try to hide anything. But so the point is that we have to be careful about that bad seed that is out there. Because uprooting the bad seed, again, we talked about some of those places. That bad seed is evil. But uprooting the bad seed may cause harm to the good seed. And Jesus indicates that they can't grow together up until the point of harvest. So what I'm hearing there is that they can grow together up until the time of harvest. The good seed will be collected second. The bad seed will be collected, the weeds bundled up and burned, and then the good seed will be collected. So I think you can kind of see to that point. I think you can see that point that in the end of the age, good things will come to those who have been intentional in their faith development. Good things will come to those who have made the right decisions. And I think that that's a point that we can follow as we read this parable. I think the disciples struggled with it, which they struggled with a lot of parables. They came back and kept asking Jesus to explain that. But I think that we can see those places about the message that Jesus is trying to communicate here. Coexistence with evil in this world. Because let's face it, are we ever, ourselves, this church, us as individuals, can we completely eradicate evil? I don't think we can. I don't think there's any way that we completely can eradicate evil just with us right here. There are bad people in this world. There are bad things in this world. And I don't know about you, but that bothers me. Because when you can see the evil around us, and I guess the other part bothers me is, how can people not understand? That there is a God who has something bigger in store for us. That there is a God who's willing to pour out His grace and mercy. And there is a God who gives us the right paths. The choir shared this morning, where He leads me, I will follow. Right there, acknowledge our humble positions. Give the direction to God and let Him lead our paths. But there are people that still don't get it. And then as the Scripture shares this morning, the evil one has planted those seeds of evil in the hearts of some people. And those seeds of evil grow and they affect other people. Their decisions hurt other people. The fact that 298 people were killed in an airline crash that was shot down by a missile this week reflects the evil that is in this world. A senseless act of violence reflects the evil in this world. So you tell me, how do you get over that if one of your family members was on that plane? How do you get over that if one of your family members was on that plane? How do you think nice, good, loving Christian thoughts if one of your family members was on that plane? And that's the challenge that we have. Sure, we can say, and we've already said it, not to judge, for judgment is the Lord's. We're told to forgive, to forgive, to forgive. And if it happens to be one of our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we're told to confront those several times, bringing their mistakes to their attention. And we're supposed to love our neighbor. How do you love your neighbor if they're the manifestation of evil? Brothers and sisters, I think there's two things that we have to keep in mind. And I think that we have to be prayerful in those choices that we make, the path that we choose as we keep those two things in mind. Well, the first thing to remember is that we are the body of Christ. That we are the body of Christ, serving a God who loved us so much that He gave His Son to die that we might be forgiven of our sins and have a promise of an everlasting life. Think about what the world did to our Savior. Think about the pain and the evil and the suffering that they inflicted upon our Savior. And that's the God that we serve that loved us so much. The Savior who underwent all that pain and suffering is the one that we serve. So we as a body of Christ are to model the love left for us by Jesus Christ, our Savior. We model His love by our way we live, the way that we act, and the way that we serve. Those who are more evil, we should love as a child of God, albeit a child of God who has made the wrong choices. And our hope is that something would happen in their lives, that they would have that opportunity to see the light, to rise up out of the darkness. And if you think about that, we have an obligation to love them as a child of God. We love our neighbor, but we have no obligation to love their act or to love their behavior. The manner in which we share love is a love without being judgmental. And in doing that, that may very well be that thing that brings them to a point in change in their life. We think about what happened with Saul, who later converted to Paul on that Damascus road. We think about what happened with that criminal who died on the cross next to Jesus and how he converted his life at the last moment. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And I'm going to tell you something that spoke volumes to me this morning that I had not read this before I had prepared the sermon today. But to see about this club owner, the leather and lace and all the strip clubs in Charlotte, the guy that's really, they call him a mogul of strip clubs, he talks about God in here. He talks about Jesus. This strong observer. He talks about it and admits that he struggles with what he is doing. That he knows what he's doing is wrong. And that he has given his employees, to put it that way, opportunities to get out of the industry. And that they actually have some ministry groups that come in and counsel. He's permitting this. To counsel his employees that they can leave the ministry and help them to leave. And that he knows, he says, "I am not right yet. But I think about where that person may have been 20, 30 years ago. Something has happened. Something has happened to give him at least that thought that what I am doing is not right. Will he change? I don't know. Is it somebody that I'm going to go hang out with or somebody that I'm going to visit his business? I don't think so. But something has happened in his life. So I don't have to like the behavior. I don't have to like the business. But I can love that person as a child of God. And I can pray for that person just like you can pray for the people that have committed mistakes, that have made bad choices, or walking that slippery slope, that have not followed the path of righteousness that our fathers laid before us. That's the obligation that we have. The other thing to remember is that every person is not going to respond to the love that we offer as Christians in the same way. There are some people that will not change. And that can be really hard because we know how badly it hurts and angers us when somebody does something wrong. And they do it because they don't understand that there's another choice. So when we look back at the parable that's before us today, we see what happens to those who refuse to change. They're gathered up first, and they're bundled as weeds and thrown into the fiery furnace. I would ask that you think back over your past week. Where is it that you've been hurt? Where is it that you've been angry? Where is it that evil has perhaps been carried out against you? But perhaps you have witnessed evil. There are some of you that brought up in here this morning those places of evil that we've seen in our world this week. And I would ask that you pray for those situations. Maybe somebody said something hurtful to you. And of course, we talked about the airlines crash. We talked about the people who lost their lives in a bank robbery. There's so many other places in the paper that I brought up this morning. Pray for each of those situations and pray that God would intervene. But perhaps somebody did something hurtful to you. Maybe somebody took something of yours, used profanity against you, or was rather aggressive and shared some sign language with you after cutting you off in traffic. And it just made you mad. Or perhaps somebody made a commitment to you and they broke that promise. I would say to you that we need to pray for those people. And pray that they would receive God's grace and mercy and make that change. We love them as children of God, but we don't approve of the acts that they carried out. I'm not saying that we are to be friends with evil. I simply say to you today, to live out the love of Jesus Christ in your life as we're charged with doing. And let that speak as to who you are. Brothers and sisters, in this conflicted world, we must be vigilant in our spiritual journey because the weeds and the thorns will choke out our very existence. We must be aware of those things that distract us and detour us away from the path that the Lord would have us to walk. And we must not be conformed to the world, but we must be conformed to the Word of God. And we must also recognize that there is evil in our midst. And we must stand against that evil while at the same time we stand for justice. And in all things we seek our mighty God's direction, His strength, and His wisdom in all things. Brothers and sisters, today I pray that we find that strength, that we find that encouragement, and we find that hope in the words of truth that have been offered to us today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.